proclaim his praises in the sanctuary, right? There you go. Well, you know what? Some of us are on the eve of the St. Matthew's Golfathon. And with that in mind, and in special dedication to Charlie and all the golfers, I want to share the following golf poem. In my hand I hold a ball, white and dimpled and rather small. Oh, how bland it does appear, this harmless-looking little sphere. By its size I could not guess the awesome strength it does possess. But since I fell beneath its spell, I've wandered through the fires of hell. Amen. My life has not been quite the same since I chose to play this stupid game. It rules my mind for hours on end, a fortune it has made me spend. It has made me curse and made me cry and hate myself and want to die. It promises me a thing called par if I hit it straight and far. To master such a tiny ball should not be very hard at all, but my desires the ball refuses and does exactly as it chooses. It hooks and slices, dribbles and dies, and disappears before my eyes. Often it will have a whim to hit a tree or take a swim. With miles of grass on which to land, it finds a tiny patch of sand. Then has me offering up my soul, if only it would find the hole. It's made me whimper like a pup and swear that I will give it up and take to drink to ease my sorrow. But the ball knows I'll be back tomorrow. Stand proud, you noble swingers of clubs and losers of balls. A recent study found that the average golfer walks about 900 miles a year. Another study found that golfers drink on average 22 gallons of alcohol a year. This means that on average, golfers get about 41 miles to the gallon. Kind of makes you proud. And almost makes you feel like a hybrid. Give it up for all the golfers today. You know, life can have, Charlie, life can have so many different challenges, can't it? From something as simple as a golf game to maybe exercise to something that occurs in your life and my life that we don't even see coming. In fact, those are sometimes the most difficult of challenges. Life, in a very real way, can be a test. As much as it can be joyful and wonderful, as much as it holds for us some incredible life-changing surprises, life at times can be an incredible test for us. In today's story in the Gospel in John, we read the famous parable that Jesus shares about the vine and the branches. In this particular story, Jesus shares that he is the vine, the Father is the gardener, and if you will, we are the branches. There's a beautiful picture that hangs in my office that a friend gave me, a fellow priest up in the D.C. area. And you'll see this picture for me. It's just a wonderful representation of this particular scripture in John. And it's a contemporary rendering of the arm of Jesus, of course, the vine, with the branch of a grape cluster around it as well. And for me, and I trust for all of us, it's a wonderful reminder of this important scripture that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and as we abide in him, we can bear some incredible and wonderful fruit. In the story today, Jesus says that branches that bear fruit will grow, but ultimately they will also be pruned as well. Now, I don't know about you, but pruning is painful. It is one of the things that when I go through it in life, I do not like it. I don't enjoy it. I want it to be over with as soon as possible. And yet the reality is, as you and I are pruned in our life, in the natural realm and also in the spiritual realm, it is a positive sign, actually. It's a sign that you're growing. It's a sign that you're bearing fruit. And it's a sign that the Lord loves you enough to shape your life and to cut away the things or the people in your life at that time so that you can have even greater growth. And so pruning is a good sign. It means you're being shaped for greater growth, even though it may be incredibly painful and something very difficult to go through at the time. Pruning means to trim back or to remove anything from relationships, activities, resources, or possibilities. And so that's what goes on in our life. It is painful and it is focused. And you know what? We see this in Florida a lot, don't we? This is the place of eternal sun, if you will. Plants are growing all the time. And one of the big jobs to have here in Florida is to be a landscaper, especially here in Naples. They're out trimming and cutting all the time. And there are even specialties of people that go out and trim our plants and trim our trees and trim everything in order to do it just right. And they know what branch to cut and how to ensure even greater growth of the plants and the trees by the pruning that they do. And you know, in this parable today that you and I read in John, it talks about God being the gardener. And so I want to invite you along with me to think about this image of God the gardener. He's walking through his vineyard, if you will, and he's looking at the different branches that are there. That would be you and that would be me. And he's observing the fruitfulness that's taking place. He might observe on your particular branch that there is a dead sprout or two that needs to be cut off or something that's not really bearing fruit that well. And so he'll prune that back. And then the rest of your branch can grow even more fruitful and be even more productive. And so for you and I in this parable, what you and I need to realize is that God is the gardener. God is looking at our lives. God is observing what's taking place as we're attached to Jesus the vine. And he is actively involved in our lives, pruning and shaping us for the best growth that God could have in our lives and want for us. You know, one of the first things I did when I came here as rector at St. John's about 70 years ago now, about a year into my ministry here, I led the vestry on a retreat where we focused on a book called Simple Church. And it was a book that had this very simple premise, and that was the church had become too complicated, that it had amassed so many different goals and projects and mission statements and plans and philosophies and everything. It had become so complicated that it wasn't really able to do much of significance. And that the answer for the church at this moment in history was to simplify, to focus, to prune back, and to trim. And so that's what we began to do as a vestry. We began to pray into what our vision statement would be. And you'll notice in your bulletin each week in the back by the announcements, usually at the top there's a statement, embrace God, little definition, love your neighbor, little definition, and then serve the world, little definition. That is our mission statement, that is our vision, that is our goals, that is everything that this church is about. Embrace God, love your neighbor, and serve the world. Let me share with you, I used to have notebooks full of goals, and below those goals were action plans to realize those goals. And then there were overarching mission statements. And then there was this, and there was that. It was like I had a whole bookshelf just to be able to realize the goals and the visions of the particular place I was at or the life that I was living. I got rid of all of that. I threw all of that away. And there's nothing wrong with goal setting. There's nothing wrong with planning. But I want to share with you something that I found to be even more powerful, and that is simplifying. Making first things first. Cutting it down to the absolute most concise statement of vision that you can have. And for us in this place, it is to embrace God, to love our neighbor, and to serve the world, and to focus in on that. You know, in that book, Simple Church, one of my favorite illustrations is shared by a man by the name of Steve Jobs. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He's the founder of a company named Apple. And in that book, in that particular section about simplicity, Steve Jobs shared something that has stayed with me ever since I read it. And he said one of the most important things that they did at Apple from the very beginning was that it was as important for them what they said no to as much as what they said yes to. Do you hear that today? It was as important for them to say no to certain things as it was to say yes to others. And you see, that's what pruning is all about. That's why this small company named Apple could be as huge and as great as it could be, because it had a very simple focus in terms of what it was trying to do. And the same is true for your life and for my life. As we are open to God the gardener shaping and pruning our lives, we will be brought to a place of incredible simplicity, of incredible focus, that God can use our lives in incredible and fruitful ways. And that is exactly what God wants to do. Let me ask you a question here today. Are you being pruned? Are you being pruned in your life? You'll know you're being pruned because you don't like it. You'll be fighting it. You'll be struggling with it. It will be painful. It might be a relationship. It might be something in your life that you really want to do. Usually, if God is trying to prune something in your life, you will have been fighting God for a long time. Let me just make a confession here in my own life. I have been fighting God in two particular areas for most of my life because I don't want him to prune those areas. But lo and behold, I'm preaching this message this weekend and he's really driving it home even more. Thank you very much. Pruning is hard. Pruning is difficult. As God focuses in on the relationships of your life, on the finances of your life, on the priorities of your life, on the direction of your life, on the place that God wants to take you in your life, pruning will be involved. Can I just make a suggestion from someone who has not really done well with this? And what I've learned? Give up. The sooner you give up, the better it will be for you. Let God, the gardener, prune you. The sooner you and I allow God, the gardener, to prune us, the more we can begin to move from a life of regret to a life of fulfillment. Pruning is hard, but it is the most important thing that you and I can yield to, because it is exactly in those areas where God is bringing in his snippers to prune you, in that specific place in your life that most needs his attention. Would you agree with me that God knows your life and my life better than we know ourselves? And would you also agree with me that since that is the case, and since he's the gardener of you as a branch, that he knows specifically what needs to be cut away and specifically what needs to be focused on for greater growth, that you might fulfill completely and fully the destiny he has for you? Endure what God the gardener wants to prune in your life. Be open to it, the pain of it, the struggle of it, the loss of it, and all that that is. And it's true and it's real and it exists. Be honest about that. Secondly, I want to invite us to be open to let Jesus the vine feed us in the midst of that pruning. As you and I are going through the pruning experience in our lives, be open to the Lord feeding you and feeding your spirit. You know, as you and I surrender to the pruning that's going on in our lives, Jesus is going to give us even greater grace. There is a grace. There is a mercy. There is a love. There is a strengthening as you and I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. God blesses us as we follow him, as much as we don't enjoy his blessing when we don't follow him. So there is a grace and a mercy in that. Be open to the reflection he gives you. Be open to the revelation that you receive in the scriptures and in prayer and in your life in general about why God is doing this in your life. Why is that relationship ending? Why is this thing that you wanted to do so much being taken away from you? And the Lord will speak to you about that. He will speak to you tenderly and lovingly, and that will be strengthening for you. Thirdly, let me say, let the Holy Spirit's power increase sovereignly in your life. what you and I will find is that as we are pruned in our life in different relationships and in different things and in different aspects of our lives, that there are things that are trimmed away, that there is a sense of death and pain that comes with that. But eventually there is also a sense of life. There is also a sense of greater energy. What you will find, like you would find on any plant that is pruned and taken care of, when you go back and look at it later on in the season, it has even greater growth. It looks better than it did before. It is a plant that has been taken care of and is fulfilling its potential. And the same will be true for you and for me. God is pruning you and me for greater growth, to do even greater things than you and I could even begin to hope for or imagine. And we just need to be open to the process and allow that fruitfulness to come. What I would encourage you and I to do is that as we have gone through this pruning process in our lives, and as God is cutting away this and that, and as we're reflecting on where we're at the end of that time, what remains? What remains in your life? Who remains in your life? And how is God calling forth greater growth into those areas? How is God going to bless those relationships and those remaining gifts that you have? My experience has been he will bless them greatly. He will increase them. He will anoint them. And you see, this is the greater growth that God always had envisioned for your life and my life as well. Get ready to produce even greater fruit in your life as the Lord prunes you and me and shapes us for the greatness that God has for us. Life can be a struggle. Life can be a pruning experience. Life can be like showing up on a golf course and you're wondering why you're there. But life can be something far greater than that as you and I are open to the loving presence and possibilities that Jesus Christ has uniquely for our lives. Lives that are full of power. Lives that are full of anointing, lives that have been shaped and cared for and molded and anointed in such a way that they are such beautiful, beautiful beings as people come in touch with them, that the anointing and the fruitfulness from their life, it's just heavenly.